Hello, everybody. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. You can get us at keithandthegirl.com/iTunes.
Chemda was wondering, when I talk about my new dog, Hugsy Malone, if I'm getting a little too soft and I'm not edgy. Let me remind her that yesterday we described and gave accounts of the Jets football game and the Steelers football game without the NFL's express written permission.
Oh, my God.
I still got my edge. I want to talk about this right away before we get anywhere. It's very important. I'm talking about Vistaprint, and specifically, I'm talking about cases for your iPhone. I have the new iPhone, not to brag. But so what, how thin it is and how light it is? It touches the ground, it's going to shatter in a million pieces. You know it and I know it. You need a case. Do you get it from Apple? Yeah, for another $40. Why not? Get it from Vistaprint and make it your own. Quit walking around with that stupid Apple logo, too. It's a commercial you're paying them for. Vistaprint, you get whatever you want done on your case. Get you and your wife. Kenda's holding hers up right now. It's Lauren and Kenda right on the back. That's a case. That's what I'm talking about.
It took me like 5 seconds to make it when I am completely ridiculous when it comes to this stuff. I have no idea where to drop the picture and how to center it and it seems stupid, but I just get overwhelmed. But this took me like 5 seconds to put in.
It doesn't. It's so easy to use. And if you're a business, this is what you do. Take a page from Apple, put your business on there. Every time you're on your phone, the subway, taking the kids to school, church, your logo's out there and it's going in the brain. Give it away like, thanks for coming to the meeting. Here's a phone protector. Everybody loves free stuff. Thanks. And they put it right on there. They're doing your work. And they thank you on top of it. Get that. As low as $14.99. That's what I'm talking about. Here's what you do. You go to vistaprint.com/keithandthegirl. Satisfaction is guaranteed. If you're not happy, they'll make it right. There is no risk. Are you listening? Vistaprint.com. I'm sorry to get so heated. And a happy day to you, but Vistaprint.com/KeithandTheGirl. Satisfaction guaranteed. If you're not happy, they make it right. No risk.
This is Keith's passion project.
It really is, because these phones, we need them. They're amazing. The latest iPhone is amazing, for example.
But if you want the deal, you have to go through Vistaprint.com/KeithandTheGirl.
So but you need a case for the iPhone. They go on, look how thin. And everybody claps. Yay, so thin. Nobody touch it, though. It'll shatter in a million pieces. Get a case. Get a Vistaprint. You're welcome. And again, your thanks is listening to me. When you buy it, you don't have to thank me. You'll want to. Okay. Today's guests, Nagin Farsad. I'm going to act like I got that one right then.
Almost. Very, very close.
And Dean Obadala.
Perfect. That was amazing. You're great with men's names.
The key.
You're really good with men's names.
Well, women don't count. Let's be honest.
They don't. We really don't.
The key is to saying it fast.
I agree with you.
Dean Abadala.
Right. Or slur. Either one.
Right.
Yeah. My family's been slurring my name ever since they gave it to me.
Yeah, but that's different. That's slur words.
Well, I haven't done anything right, so they have the right to.
This is the DVD, and it's downloadable, of course, that they're promoting, and it's called The Muslims Are Coming.
Mm-hmm.
This is so good.
It's so fucking good. I'm so impressed by you guys.
God, thank
you.
That's so nice.
No, I'm floored. I mean, like, it's, you know, people put together, it's a DIY project, right? A lot of it was done with your own money. You did have a fundraiser, but the tour that you did this on, all the shows were free.
Mm-hmm.
That's insanity to me, because on top of booking everything and how much things cost just to get there to the South, it's madness.
It's a horrible mistake.
We lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
We are extremely
in retrospect,
broke. And
anyone thinking of doing a free comedy tour, don't. Unless you like debt.
Because you're going to lose a lot of money and self-respect at the same
Our
time.
Our debt's higher than Bolivia right now. Yeah, we're in a mess right now. We're really in trouble. And
Well, how you weren't targeting necessarily Muslim people to come to your show.
Well, that's why we wanted. That's why we made it free. Because if you were like, "Oh, I might be open to thinking differently about Muslims," but the thing is, I'm broke, so that's not going to happen. We didn't want that to be a barrier. We wanted you to be able to come. So
I don't
want to
fund terrorism before I figure out what this thing's about.
Exactly.
You go to the places you go to.
The South. The West.
Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. These, I'm not joking. You go
Muslim,
down there.
Muslim-loving centers of America we went to.
You say, I'm going to go down there. We're gonna bring a bunch of comics. We're going to show them that Muslims are people, too. Mm-hmm. TV's not helping you guys out lately, right?
No.
Does friends and family say, for what? Don't. I love you. Do you guys not have significant lovers?
I know. Does our families not care about us? Is that what's going on? Is that how this happened?
Did you tell your parents you're doing this?
I did tell my parents, but they were just like, why do you tell people you're Muslim? They were, when I went to college, they were like, why do you tell, don't tell people you're Iranian. They told me when I went off to college. And I was like, dudes, the cat's out of the bag. My name is Nagin Farsad. I can't pretend like we came off the Mayflower.
But you know what? When people would ask me where I'm from, because when you have a name like Hemda, right away, where are you from, right?
Yes.
Right. And so I would say I'm from Israel. But then, you know, some people would be like, Israel, yes, but where's your last name? You know, all that stuff. And my father is from Iran. When I used to mention I'm from Iran and my mother's family's from Iraq, that's when I discovered, oh, people don't like those places. And so I was like, oh, how else do I say it? Do I say the Mideast? I don't think people like the Mideast either.
In general, yeah.
For a while, I was saying, like, I'm Mediterranean.
That's nice, though.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm on that water.
Right.
I'm like a Greek salad.
Yeah. Yes. People think positive things, feta cheese, stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's very nice.
Yeah. They think, you know, sunshine and happiness. And I don't know. I didn't get away with that. I tried. So I was saying Persian for a while, and then people started getting mad when I said Persian because Persia is not a country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you're just trying to be, you know, regal sounding. There's Persian cats who are very, you know. Stately.
Bring your empire back. Yeah,
yes.
I get it.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not trying to sell rugs to you. I'm just trying to let you know where I'm from without you making a face.
Is this, we'll get to how Americans deal with Muslims. Is this the big problem why we'll never have peace in the Middle East? For starters, you people in the Middle East.
This is going to be all positive. Yes.
You got, when somebody says the name of the country, you can't say it doesn't exist. Like, that's a big put down.
Yeah.
To say your country doesn't exist.
To say Palestine doesn't exist, and for Palestine to say Israel doesn't exist, where do you go from there? Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a bad way to start a
conversation. It's a bad way to start.
Yeah. You're not going to be friends. It's not like, let's sit down for tea and crumpets after that entree.
Yeah, right. I went to a pizzeria one time years and years ago, and the guy asked me where I'm from behind the counter, and I said Israel, and he goes, well, that doesn't exist. And I'm like, are you from Palestine?
Right.
And he was, and I never had pizza there again because I don't think he wanted me to come back.
Yeah,
but he had such good pizza.
That's like a Seinfeld-esque quandary there where you're like, I don't like his politics, but I like his food.
Yeah.
And what do you do? But I mean,
you go one more time and then you mourn it.
I think the people say, there's no, like, my father's Palestinian. People who say there's no Palestine, to me, it's just a political statement. They don't really mean there's no Palestinians. Those who say there's no Israel don't really mean there's no state of Israel. They don't want, it's a political discussion they want to have and go like, oh, let's play this little game. We do this whole little song and dance and we'll talk about 48 and 67 and 73. You're like, oh, come on, stop it. Let's live in reality and get beyond the games. We live in a country of political games. Look at the hyper-partisan bullshit that goes on. We just went through in America here. I mean, this is politics is politics.
It's kind of the way if me and my neighbor weren't getting along,
mm-hmm.
and I go and he invites me over to his house to discuss the way we're keeping our lawns.
Right.
And I go over and I go, all right. And you know what? We're both ready to be level-headed and discuss this. With that said, of course, you know your house is mine. But anyway, let's begin.
Right. That's a tough
right.
way to, that's a
and
tough
it's,
way to start.
Right, so you can't, you it's harder to negotiate about the lawn if there's no, but the thing that really upsets me about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in particular is that it's like, it defines our entire relationship with the Middle East, and it defines everything we know about the Middle East in some way, and it It's the only thing that's go. It's like and Americans don't know enough about. There's other countries, and then they speak these languages, and there's even different ethnic groups. Like Americans just think it's just one big violent brown blob. They don't know they don't know enough. And so then they just glom onto the one thing they do know, which is, oh, Israel and Palestine, they have a thing, right? Everyone there is so against each other and violent. And I don't know. It's too much.
That was your point of view, Keith, when you visited Israel.
Yeah, but I was in Israel, and they don't seem to get along. They're at the Holy Wall.
Right.
The most holy place on the planet Earth, I would say. They are all but spitting on each other. Arabs and Jews.
Spitting would be fine, though, when you think about it. And the options of military, if spitting was the most aggressive stuff they've done, like, okay, we can deal with the spitting, okay?
But
Keith is talking about there's a general aggressiveness to Israelis that I sometimes feel like I have to counter in the United States of America.
Being extra nice?
Yeah, I am, if I hear someone with an Israeli accent, or if I hear someone speaking Hebrew and is very aggressive to, let's say, somebody behind the counter, even though I'm in an Israeli place where they seem to enjoy this kind of way of talking to each other, I will take it down. Like, even if I'm having a bad day, I'll just be like, hi, and how was your day? Oh, good. But, you know, Keith tried to get a crepe. You know, we were at the bus depot waiting for a bus to Jerusalem.
I hear this is the country to get crepes in.
Well, you think crepes, you think Israel. Israel, yeah. Known for the crepe, the bacon crepe, especially good.
Me and my brothers are there, and we're like, you're going to need help doing this. And he's like, I could order a crepe. And I'm like, whoa, Israeli. And so he goes to get a crepe, stands in line like a good American boy, mm-hmm. and while people cut in front of him for every goddamn thing on the planet,
wow.
and he's just like, when is it my turn? I'm like, it's your turn when you say it's your turn. Get loud and aggressive. And he's like, you know what? I don't even need their crepes. I don't even need them. Fuck their crepes.
I'm not buying the iPhone case from Apple.
That's it.
And I'm not buying a crepe from them.
Not only didn't get you get your crepe,
it's really inefficient, right?
It is. Yeah.
It's like you have, because it's like that in Iran too. I mean, in a lot of like countries that are not the United States. Frankly, it's kind of like that, you know?
Right.
And it's like, how do things get done? It's like very inefficient.
You get them done. It's almost more efficient. But they're not offended by each other. Like, this is the way it is. You should be offended.
It's visceral.
Because they're making sure, you know, if they don't get theirs, you're going to get theirs. Meanwhile, they have on the curly cues. The holier you are, the higher your hat is, the ruder you are to me. That's what I see.
That's how it went. My lady is from Israel, my girlfriend, my long-term girl. She's like my wife, really. She's from Haifa. But she's Arab. She's Palestinian, but she's born and raised in. And when she first came here, she wouldn't say thank you for things. And I go, why don't you say thank you? She goes, because I'm Israeli and we don't say thank you. I go, well, in America, you're going to say thank you from now on. And it was like a learning thing, because she's Arab, she's culturally Israeli. She's aggressive about stuff. And in some ways, it's great. If the food's not good, she sends it back. She's the best. Bingo. We get free food. Not only that, we get things to go. So
does she ever try to negotiate the menu?
She haggles. Well, haggling, I'm not kidding. Haggling is in the blood of every Arab, every Israeli. You know, that is something that brings them together.
They don't even want to save money necessarily.
Oh, it's a game.
It's the challenge of the haggle.
My cousins at Macy's were a whole show. I'm like, you can't haggle
God,
here.
Macy's. You know, oh my God, my mother and Macy's.
It's the same thing. There's nothing wrong with it to them. There's nothing like, we grew up in a country here, we're like, you can't do that. Why can't you? And you really can't make the argument, why can't you? Like, well, maybe you can make a deal. And I can't tell you how many times Hen, my girlfriend, has gotten us deals at retail stores.
Yeah.
Like, over
like
things.
Like, employee discounts. Everything. Like, my mom has managed
there.
That stuff, too.
Right.
It's
so
embarrassing.
People, as Americans, we don't realize there's a whole other world out there. And if you know, you're in it and you scare the person, they're like, holy shit, this person. Okay, I'll give you 20% off. And they're like, okay, done.
And here's the thing. That is the thing. Is my mother, I tell her, like, you can't haggle at Macy's. This is not the shuk in Israel, you know, where you have to haggle,
right.
You know, where like her whole upbringing, every market was haggling. There weren't malls in Israel. That's new. And so I'm like, you can't do this in Macy's. You can't tell my mother that, because she has done it every single time.
Yep.
They keep proving to her that, yes, she can. And I keep telling her, no, she can't. I give up. But I just kind of walk away a little bit.
And the favorite thing that happens to me is like if I get into a cab and it's an Iranian cab driver and I can tell and we have a conversation, okay, hey, whatever, we're both Iranian. He then at the end when I'm dropped off at my destination and I'm paying, he goes, oh, no, I'm not worth your money. Now, I know that I'm not – like I can't just get to be like, okay, you're not worth my money. I got to go. I know he has no intention of letting me walk out for – but it's like it's just he knows that I know that I then have to argue with him to be allowed to pay. And so then I'm like, no, you're totally worth my money. And he's like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, no, seriously, don't be ridiculous.
Yep.
And then he's like, well, okay. And then, it adds 10 minutes to every transaction that we have to have this ridiculous conversation.
Similarly, I don't like to let people know that I speak Hebrew in a Hebrew-speaking restaurant because you're going to treat me differently and everything's going to take me either longer or more elaborate, or I'm supposed to, if it's an Israeli restaurant, I should just know their system because I speak Hebrew. So why am I at the register when you have to order first? I'm like, because I don't know. I mean, if you wrote it down in Hebrew and like put it prominently somewhere, I can get it. I can have a go at it.
And you're wrong. You're in the wrong.
Always.
It's with Hen. The Hen, when she can't, and I do as a joke, my act, but this is the truth though. When she can't translate something from English to Arabic, I'll go, how do you say this in Arabic? I'll say this word. How do you say, I'll point to something like dog. How do you say dog in Arabic? And she knows that. She'll say like kelb. But then I asked her, and this is a true story, how do you say penguin? She didn't know. She just said the word in English with an Arabic accent. Yeah. She goes, penguin. And I go, that sounds like penguin. She goes, do not tell me my language. Like, she actually pretend like, that's, and that's a joke, Mike, but that's all real.
You're like that's baby, her. You're sick.
But like, I'm like, you're just, but she clearly had made up the word penguin and said penguin like that, and then began arguing with me, like, I'm an idiot for pushing her on her language. And there was not, and I say it's a joke, and people laugh, but I'm telling you 100% while we're sitting here, that all happened. There was no joke. I'm like, you're kidding me. Like, this is, and Nikki knows that. She's like quiet, but you know, you just push slightly under that surface and it's right there.
Going back real quick, why won't she say thank you? Is that being submissive?
She said it was something, I don't know, she said it was culturally in Israel. Well, we don't Americans say thank you. It wasn't being rude friendly. And they were saying we were just, she said it's just cultural. You don't say thank you. I worked at a TV show where the boss didn't say thank you. And he wasn't Israeli. He goes, I'm not going to thank you for doing your job. That was basically his philosophy, which is unreal. But so we're so needy, perhaps. Maybe it's Americans needy.
We have like a very codified form of like public language. Hi, can I help you? Right. Thank you. Hope you have a great day. All of those things are very American. They don't even do that in France. I mean, that stuff is just pure.
And everybody knows how nice they are.
Right. But you know what?
Take this, get out.
But it's not even like it's Western. You know what I mean? It's just, it's American to be that, you know, ridiculously friendly and customer service oriented.
We're needy.
I forgot what I was going to say, but
it's positive affirmations.
It's all true. I don't know that it's in the language. Thank you. I'm surprised there's even a word in Hebrew.
Tada.
Yeah. Like, ta-da, I said thank you.
Ta-da, I did a magic trick.
Maybe that's how impressive they were. Well, you said thank you, like, ta-da, you should say something like, ta-da, afterward. Like, it's magic.
If Farsi doesn't have one so bad, they imported the French word merci. So, like, well, that's what we say in Farsi when we want to say thank you because it, like, wasn't a thing.
Can I tell you, I don't speak Persian, but I do know only command words, because to me, that's the language that my father speaks to me, you know? So I'll know bia, besi, berim, boho, bishin, right? Like, is when they're all, everything that starts with B is like, just do it, sit, stand, we're going, you know, like, that's all
the stuff.
Is this
show live in Iran, your show? This is like right big right now.
You should have Rouhani on. I hear he's
Ahmadinejad looking for work. Ahmadinejad, what's Ahmadinejad doing? He's out of work. Yeah. I don't know. What does a former president in Iran do? That can't be that great of a job.
He's going to start a podcast.
I saw, you know, in this movie, one of the comics that went along with you was saying how, you know what, women are a little bit, you know, they have some hurdles that they have to overcome.
Yeah.
Being from the Middle East.
Being Muslim.
That's put lightly.
Yeah.
To me, that was a little soft.
He was being, he's being very diplomatic. Yeah. Well, I mean,
you're not a person. I mean, this is why I can't. I mean, there's no other religion that I went.
There again is like where we glom all of the countries into one.
God, tell me how you're respected as a female.
And I'll tell you that in Iran, women have, and I'm using my dictator fingers for those of you who get it, in Iran. In Iran, like, women have the higher degree of degree attainment than they do in other parts of the Middle East, right? Like, highest degree, they are overrepresented in educational institutions. They drive, they vote, they have jobs, they are overrepresented in certain, like, in like architecture and whatever, okay, different fields.
Your parents proud of you?
My parents have totally supported my comedy career, though, okay, they don't understand every aspect of it, but that's okay. They're immigrants. But in, for example, in Saudi, women have very few rights. They can't do anything. They can't drive. They can't vote. Drive, they can't, which, what, you know what I mean? They can't go to the movies. I mean, the whole thing is just like difficult, you know.
Do they have great traffic? Be honest. Is traffic good in Saudi Arabia?
I know. I've been to Saudi.
One of you guys.
No, I've done comedy shows in Saudi. I did shows with Gabriel Iglesias in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Traffic is there. It's not horrible. It's much worse in Egypt. Unbelievable. You can't even.
Could women drive in Egypt?
Yeah, women can drive. The only place they can't drive is Saudi. It's the only place. It's crazy.
Okay.
Like, there's no one defends Saudi Arabia. I mean, no one, you know, Saudi's crazy. And then women aren't the greatest.
Do you notice any difference with driving that only men can drive?
What? That's in the only place in Saudi. Oh, that was your point. No, it was not noticeably different. It wasn't like, and that'd be interesting if they defended it through statistics. They go, hey, we're not sexist, but here's the statistics. We have less accidents because women can't drive. And then all of a sudden, it's like that thinking man's sexist, you know, person. Right. It's like, well, I'm not against women driving, but it's clearly safer in Saudi Arabia.
But so I would posit that it would be more aggressive because women aren't driving. And so men are just like going, doing crazy aggressive shit on the roads.
Yeah, but I find women to be like at least equally as aggressive and possibly more in general. And I'm not talking about Middle Eastern women as opposed to American women. I'm talking about in general. Mm-hmm. Once a woman finds her voice, I think that natural voice is more aggressive than a male. Like you said, your girlfriend will take back the food. You will not.
I will not. I'm like, don't. Yeah, she will send it back.
When it comes to like mine and Keith's relationship, we're business partners. I will write the negative email. I will speak firmly with the person who says like he doesn't owe us money in person, via email, whatever. And that's, I think, when women are closer to what they naturally are instead of like what we put on them growing up, where they're quieter and they're more meek and they, you know, they have trouble with challenges or whatever it is. I think that's not naturally how women are. And we keep proving it, and we're going to have to keep proving it until we become equal. But going back to the Middle Eastern thing for a second, I get that, like, there's driving and there's voting. And, you know, especially in Israel, women are pretty – specifically in Israel, people are more level to men is what I found. But other Middle Eastern countries – and I was more raised Iraqi and Iranian than Israeli. If I was raised Israeli, I wouldn't have half the issues that I had growing up. But I was definitely raised sexist. I do think it's a sexist culture in general. Men are not asked to be virgins when they're getting married. Men are not driven only to get married and have babies. Men are not spoken to a certain way. The women in my family are the ones who had to clear the table, make the food, set up, do all of that stuff. So I don't, you know, maybe they have the right to drive, but you can't just say that, you know, we as Americans are stereotyping and just looking at them like, oh, women are not the same because we see a couple of, you know, women only showing their eyes. It is a sexist. They're sexist countries. It's a sexist
religion.
It's beyond religion. It's a sexist culture in general, and not just for kids, for little girls. But as you grow up, you get more and more sexist shit happen to you and less rights as a human when you're comparing it to, let's say, a brother that you have.
I think the thing, though, when you think about it, though, for women, it's just great in America. 3 are killed every day by domestic violence. Every 15 seconds, a woman's a victim of domestic violence in the United States.
But I'm not arguing that women are equal here.
No, but
either.
I'm saying, like, there is a huge problem with men and women where men are always trying to keep women silent, to try to make them second to them, to pay them less for the same job in the United States or the Middle East or anywhere. And I think a lot of times I hear people complain about the Middle East and Arab and Muslims, and I go, yeah, there are problems there, but you don't talk about 3 women every day killed here in our country.
But what is
in a Christian nation? We're a Christian nation, so who's killing them? Christian men.
So what are the statistics overseas then?
I care more about the United States of America. That's where I live. This is my country.
My personal goal when we talk about like women's stuff when it comes to Middle Eastern women is sort of to clear up a couple things. And when I mention like Iran and they have all this educational entertainment and women can do a whole bunch of stuff and they do. That's just to point out that not the all of the Middle East is in Saudi Arabia. So I think that's important to remember. All of the Middle East is in Saudi Arabia, where women aren't allowed to do shit, right?
And in Israel, women are for sure equal. Everyone has to go to the army. Everyone has to participate in the same way.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Do women need to be in a separate room when they're on their period?
No. Okay. In Iran, where does that happen? No.
Something I hope to start.
No.
That has nothing to do with anything. I like
that. Like us to a job.
I like your thing out of the box.
But the second thing that I think is like really that I'd like to say is that being said, now okay, get the nuance that the Middle East isn't all the same. It's also true that women still don't have it great, but we also don't have it great in the United States, as you mentioned. So it's sort of like, okay, it's not unlike the United States in that also women don't have it great.
If you had a daughter and she was going to either live in America or you're from Iran.
I mean, I never lived there.
Right. Let's pick Iran, though.
Yeah.
Or they moved to Iran. Do you think, all in all, there's ups and downs? Or would you think, I got to be honest, women are treated a little worse?
I think human beings are treated worse in Iran. I would have any child, man, or, you know, man or woman, live in the United States because they're just going to have more fun. I mean, you're not allowed to drink. You're not allowed to do drugs. I mean, you're not allowed to legally have a party, dance, whistle, any tune you want.
This kid of yours likes to do a lot of fun things.
And my kid is going to be really fucking fun. You have no idea.
Broadway shows.
I saw, by the way, whenever I saw you, I just assumed you'd be sick because that's the last thing I saw in your movie.
Yeah. Right?
How you feel, even though, how long ago was that?
That
a year
was
or two?
A year 2 years ago. Yeah.
It's a lingering cold. She's a malingerer.
Yeah.
Every day, I'm sick. Didn't you see the movie? I'm still sick. I'm like, that was 2 years ago. Wow. Still comes and goes.
Here's the little part I want to play real quick. It's you're in bed sick, but you're talking about how very religious Muslims. First of all, let's settle this.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Muslims or is it Muslims?
You can say either one, whatever you want. Either one.
It really is
either or either.
It's Muslims.
Right.
Either one's fine.
You can go either way.
What a fun culture.
Right. I've already heard people say different things. Look at how liberal, look how progressive that is. You choose how you want to say
Very
it.
Very flexible.
A Catholic is just Catholic.
That's it.
Well, let's say this, that I'm not as flexible. When people say Israel, it kind of makes me cringe. It's Israel. But no, Keith is looking at me like, you just said the same thing. So who gives a shit? Forget it.
Right.
It's Hemda, not Hemda.
You just said the same thing again. All right. So two very religious women get up and walk out of your show.
Tonight's Tucson show is really hard because I've been sick. I've been touring while sick. TWS, if you will. During my set, this group of hijabi women, which are the women that cover their hair, just like got up and left. And does it hurt my feelings like so much to see a group of hijabi ladies like walk out on my set? Like, absolutely. You don't know how that feels. That feels awful.
Now there's, what do you think when that happens? It must be that your material's too edgy for their religion.
Yeah, and I also think like it just sort of like, who is my audience? You know what I mean? Like I'm not a white person, right. So I'm not doing, you know what I mean? I can't do that kind of thing.
People part of your culture can't take you, is that
my
what it
people,
seems?
Yeah. People, and I don't really perform for them either. Like, I don't go to the Middle East. I mean, I'm not also invited to the Middle East to perform. That's Dean's fault.
I blocked her. I vetoed her.
No, but
time.
Like, I don't, you know, like, you know, there's some comedians that'll do like, you know, shows for like Muslim student associations at different college campuses and that kind of thing. I'm not one of those people, and I think part of it is because my stuff is it's just more like kind of mainstream American in its edginess and like sexual content than, you know,
right.
And so it makes me feel like sometimes just like, damn it, I just don't have an exact audience the way some people do, you know?
But here's the thing and I think you sort of said this, that wouldn't be your audience in the same way that, like, I'm an atheist now, but people just consider me Jewish whether I want to, you know, be considered Jewish or not. Yeah. If Hasidic Jews would walk into, you know, a show that we were doing, they would walk out also. I wouldn't think that my own people are rejecting me. I would think that this is a people that I don't relate to because I was never Hasidic. And even if I was, I'm not Hasidic now. These people have their certain laws where I can't sing if they're in the room. And I can't, you know, they can't hear a woman talk that way. So it's their own religion, not exactly what I'm doing. It's their rules that they're walking out on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does. There's subsects within each community. Christian, yeah. There are Christian sects that they don't allow dancing still. Remember John Ashcroft, the attorney general during Bush, had that statue of the woman covered up because the statue of, like, justice had her boobs out. And he literally spent taxpayer dollars to cover it up because in his view of Christianity, in the conservative Christianity, you can't have that statue. And that's something you would have heard about in a Muslim world. You go, look at that. They're covering up women. This is a Christian man who was attorney general, the highest ranking law enforcement officer in this country. There is sexism that permeates every society. And perhaps it goes back to the book, the fact that all the religious books, the three main ones, were written by men. You know, that's the reality. They could be, you could believe that they were taken in by God. But, you know, it was written by the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Quran. And I think that's part of it explains this idea that women are secondary to men. And it shocks me even more. The more I read about it, the more you get little things. Like right now, there's the most women ever who are Fortune 500 CEOs. 20 out of 500. It's the most ever. Women are partying. We got 20. 20 out of 500. Like, you know, there's something inherently institutionalized in American society and other societies, which accept this fact that women are secondary.
Well, maybe if God was a woman.
Maybe.
I mean, our own
leader. Or the
person
writing the book, the people writing the book.
Listen, if God wrote the book with his penis, obviously. He uses it on a daily basis. What do you think snow is?
Don't you think, and it's too late now, maybe a woman should have started one of these religions.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, early bird.
Bingo.
Never too late. Early bird.
That would have been, you know, that would have been really interesting if a woman started a religion and how it would have been accepted.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Our God has big tits.
Once a month, the lifeblood will flow through us.
It's very
Once a month, you all get chocolate. Come to my religion.
That's not bad.
It would be funny if you ran after these ladies and you said, okay, so this is too much for you, but it's, I don't know what to say.
Right,
it's kind of sad. And then they go, yeah, not for nothing. Our friend's water just broke. It's nothing. Has nothing to do with you, bitch.
We love your act. We can't believe we're leaving because it's selfish
right,
over
right,
here.
Right, right,
has to have
right.
a baby now.
No, and what upsets me about this scenario too is that it's a little bit of like, guys, I'm out here because you guys are more likely to get persecuted, not me. I'm dressed like I went to a Forever 21. Okay, you guys though wear the things and the whatever, and you're very noticeable, and people hate you for no reason. I wish you guys would just support a touch, even though you don't like the material, and I get that.
But there is a thing there where they did come, they came.
They came.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They heard some of it.
Yeah.
And maybe they walked out during your set, which is very painful and hurtful, but they did come to it.
Yeah.
And also, you guys are doing it anyway.
And they didn't heckle, they didn't throw their food on the ground.
No.
Yeah,
I've had that happen to me. But then again, also, let's the balance of this. There are many people, women with hijabs, who stayed and watched the entire show and were fine with it. So it wasn't like all of them. It was a group of maybe 20. And that crowd probably had the most Muslims. Although I must say about one thing about Nagin.
And where's Nagin's this like, at, by the way? I'm sorry.
That was in Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah,
but Nagin's like, oh, I can't do Muslim student groups and stuff. You absolutely could. We performed a show in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And there would have been a big Islamic mosque controversy there because you can't build Ground Zero, or apparently Murfreesboro, Tennessee, because that's holy ground too. And they're already. So we did the show, and Nagin knew it was going to be a lot of Muslims. She did her act completely clean, killed it. They loved her. And that's the truth. Like, so Nagin, it's her choice, and she's being true to herself as an artist, so I completely respect that. But Nagin could get booked in Muslim student groups because the first thing they asked me when they didn't know me is, are you clean? And I'd say, yeah, I'm clean.
Right.
But if I wasn't clean, I'd be like, yeah, I'll clean. The set I'll do for you will be clean because I need to pay my rent.
Right.
You're generally clean?
Yeah,
always?
Generally as a comic. Yeah, it's just me. I mean, I don't judge. I don't care what any comic does at all. I mean,
right.
But that's my choice.
Two men comics could spend the night together. It's their business. It's
right, I don't give a shit. You do what you want. I'm not going to judge you, Keith. But
I want to say, obviously, we're talking about this now. The movie is called The Muslims Are Coming. And I didn't watch the whole thing yet, but the trailer is fantastic. Gives you a real sense of what you're watching. I watched the first half of it. This thing, I think, will change the world when it comes to something, when it comes to this topic, will change the world more than anything else I've ever seen.
Wow. That's a crazy thing to say.
Because of what you
You're
said.
My favorite now.
Some of what
I know.
It,
some I like what, Keith earlier.
I'm like emotional from that statement.
The only thing you have to do is learn how to say thank you. Can you do it?
But I hope the last half of the movie doesn't let you down. Because then you're like, oh. Right. The first half was changing the world. Second half, really. Yeah.
Well, I know. I just wanted to be honest with the audience that, you know, just how much I watch it. But, you know, the message that you're sending is very clear. And I do think, and one of the comedians said this in the beginning, it's one of the best ways, if not the best way, to have people listen to your stuff is through comedy. Because, who was it? The guy
Colin
who points
Quinn?
A lot.
Lewis Black.
I believe Lewis it was Lewis Black. Because like, or no, it was Colin Quinn.
Any idiot could put on a comedy show.
Exactly. But it's true. And you guys are going up there and not preaching, you know, Muslims are wonderful all the time, every time. You're going like, here's some shit that we noticed too.
Right.
We get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's all laugh about it. And then come give me a hug after.
We really didn't want to say very much about Islam at all, honestly. You won't really learn anything about Islam by watching the movie because it's not about that, you know. It's just about bigotry, really. It's just, that's the only thing you'll learn is that we think bigotry
is cool.
It's awesome. You'll just learn that we think bigotry is totally lame. People shouldn't do it. And the way to around it is just like having more fun, like my future child is going to do.
Your child's going to be gay, but still they're going to be happy, and I support them. You know what the bottom line is? You know, because like, people have questions about Muslims and stuff, and I don't care if people like Muslims. Like, it's the same thing. I don't care if you like certain minority groups. You just don't advocate they should have less rights in this country. That's really the fight. That's where you draw the line. Like, okay, someone go like, I don't really like your Muslim. I'm like, okay, you think we should be able to have the same rights as you do in America? Of course. They go, yeah. I'm like, fine. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like the faith. You don't have to. There's certain things that could bother you about the faith. That's fine. There's certain things that bother people about Mormons or certain sects of Christianity or Jews or whatever. As long as we're all on the same playing field, like, you can build a temple where you want. You can build a church where you want. You shouldn't be discriminated against at work because of your religion, all that. Everyone's like, yeah, I'm bored. Then fine.
Well, see, what about this? When 9/11 first happened, I noticed
where
that...
Where were you? Good question.
I was 12 blocks away.
Well, I noticed that if I were to go to an airport shortly after, I am the one who's randomly checked. And I didn't mind because I understood how much terror was placed on not just America, but a large part of the world. And that's pretty scary. So if you see a name like Khalili, then,
I'd
you know.
Pick you. Yeah. Your hair,
fine.
Too. Your hair, definitely.
You get a minute, you know what I mean?
But and it's so, just weird the way they did it. At the airport, they'll go, whoa, random check.
Hey, hello.
Did they try and make it seem like, oh, we're just randomly, this has nothing to us?
They did, and I'd be with Hemda, and they would go, you, sir, you're okay. And
you're like, fine. White guy, you go.
Meanwhile,
you
that's
brownie.
Where I placed it. I'm the right. White guy. Like,
it's funny, like that spit take from TSA they see. You're like, oh, my God.
Holy shit, random. Random. Oh,
wait, promotion. We're moving up. This is really good. I think we got someone.
As Muslims.
Yes.
And are you practicing?
Right now?
No.
At this moment?
No, like, I mean, no. I...
Sort of. Secular.
No.
Are you Muslims the way I'm Catholic? You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, you're an atheist.
Well, but do you see what I'm saying?
I'm culturally... I consider myself culturally Muslim. Like, I drink, I eat pork, it doesn't matter, I'm probably shameful in many respects, whatever.
Right.
But I'm still culturally Muslim. I grew up in the thing and I can't shake it.
Well, do people see this, Muslims see this movie and say, well, there's a ham and cheese sandwich, she's obviously not Muslim, she doesn't represent us.
No, and again, we have a very delightful and respectful imam who says that no one can define it. What Islam is to you, it's a very personal definition.
Between you and God. It's come yeah. Like all the faiths are. If you don't believe in God, you don't. But if you do, it's between you and God. And the guys who wear the funny hats, the Hasidic ones, are doing it just to be closer to God. They think they're pleasing God. And you see a woman wearing hijab, and she's doing it because it helps her relationship to God. That's all this is about. And it's kind of odd, but I believe in God. But
well,
sometimes
it becomes
like,
not what it's all about, because the women wearing headdress, it's not about God necessarily. Yes, they've been convinced that this gets them closer to God, right. But it actually gets them closer to a higher bill on their credit card at the end of the month.
That's a good point. Like they buy it, and it becomes an accessory where it's flashy in times. Mm-hmm. And so, isn't like an Orthodox Jewish woman who are married wear wigs or a hat? Mm-hmm. And there's some that wear really, really expensive wigs or really expensive hats where but it becomes the not, point not a modesty it. Anymore. It's about like it's really showy. You're like, well, that's a nice hat. It's a really right. impressive hat.
Yeah, and the idea to start with is modesty. Mm-hmm. And you're being modest with your $2,000 hat.
It's amazing.
Not okay.
Were you ever, and then maybe it's my ignorance, I'd be scared.
Were you ever now or at any time? Right. a part of?
I'd be scared in some of these countries. Were you guys nervous? It's a small group of you comics, of you Muslims, in some of these scary places in America. Were you nervous at all?
You got death threats, right?
We got like hate threats. Mail, and we got, you know, the hateful comments.
Sorry about that. I didn't know where the movie was going.
Keith, you're a dick.
You put a provocative title to be provocative, okay?
And what do you get? What do we mean by, like, you know, we asked it to be attacked. Thank you.
Right.
We dressed the way we were strampy, and we deserve it. You're right, Keith.
No, but I didn't, you know, I think one of the things that I think a lot of comedians might have is not a great sense of like when to be fearful, right? Like I think you go on stage and you just say a bunch of shit, and like I remember once I made an abortion joke on stage, and I fucking thought it was hilarious. Abortion is turns out very touchy. People did not take to it at all. Mm-hmm. And that's like how I think that a lot of us comedians kind of were on tour, where we're like, what is the big deal? We're just a jolly band of Muslims going through deeply southern towns.
Let's say hi to the people at the gun show. There's got to be something ironic about that.
Right.
Because if show. You guys, yeah, if you
we
comics.
Went to, yeah, and we went to a lot of gun-based events
stuff.
And gun-based retail and stuff. We went to all those things, and it just, to me, I was just like, what's the big deal?
It's a make your own bomb class.
Yeah, we were teaching that.
Yeah, you guys are.
We were fearless.
It's good. You could tell you're fearless or you'd have regular jobs. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You don't think about
people. Comedians think about in general.
You think about it, people's number one fear on most polls is standing in front of a public and giving a speech. And we do that. If you're a comic, all the time, and you don't even there's not even any sense of on stage or off stage. You walk on stage, you're the same person now that you're unless you're doing a character, but your heart rate doesn't go up. You don't start sweating. It's like that's comedy. Then you get off stage, you're the same person. To a lot of people, that's scary. So that's an interesting point. Nagin's never brought that up before. That perhaps we're oblivious to the real concerns.
I think so. It'd be like I know Dean was mugged once at gunpoint, and he wasn't given the wallet, and the guy says, "You're not scared?" I talk to people on stage. If that doesn't scare me.
I performed in Gladys's in the back of Hamburger Harry's in 1997. You know what I've been through, my friend?
But the same question goes for you, Keith, because sometimes you say some things on the show, and I mean, and Chemda does a great job of sort of, I think, balancing out your more like insane, almost right-wing things that you sometimes, I mean, I know your joke, and I know you're, you know what I mean? But do you ever get hate mail for those things?
Yeah, but it's always, you must notice this too, the hate mail is never written well. and it kind of makes you disregard it. Like, if you're a guy that sends out hate mail, take an English class. You're not being taken
spell check.
Seriously.
At least you spell check. It's right there. There's an auto check. No, but do you piss off the right or left? Because when I write articles for CNN every week, and if I write, most of them are on the left, but every now and then I write an article making fun of the left or something. I get then very well written, long, thoughtful, painfully long emails from progressives telling me why I'm wrong, trying to convince me.
Well, you know what happens to those? Keith forwards them to me and goes, no.
That's it. Well, conservatives are like, you're a dick, you're an idiot, and it's done. Yeah. Like, I get it. You're very to the point. I'm not kidding. Progressives are like, they have to explain it in the context historically and what it really means. I'm like, oh, all right, you like it or don't like it. Please don't do this. Just say I'm a dick. And we're happy. We're done with it. Like, we'll move on.
I write back. Thank you for your time. Unless murder was involved.
Also, it's like,
I don't know. I'll never know. Please don't kill my family. Thanks for listening.
It's the most interesting to me is like when they just fundamentally don't get the joke.
Right.
Right? Like, we've gotten a lot of emails like in the trailer, which I'm sure everyone's going to now watch. David Cross says something you know, we're just, what does he say?
So we're just like you.
We
eat pie.
And we hate the gays, right? So he says that, and it's obviously like a condemnation of normal is being homophobic, you know, in embedded in this other comment about proving that Muslims are just like you or whatever. And so
well said.
Thank you. I just did some critical analysis. Bam.
It's like CSI. This is amazing.
It's funny if David Cross right now is listening and be like, nah, I was just being stupid. Just thought I'd be stupid.
I just thought it was funny. Why are you overthinking it, Nadine?
It gets a laugh. But some people email us that we are condoning homophobia, you know, which is insane. And we would never. And we're like, oh, you're not getting the layers of this comment.
Then they wouldn't. You can't feel bad because then they wouldn't get it anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Right, but they're on the left, those people, so that's probably the more disappointing thing. Right. When someone's on your side, and you're like, oh, what are you doing? If you're on the far right, I don't care. Comedy.
Yeah, but when you go so far right or so far left, you're just wrong.
Right.
You can't, there's nobody that could sincerely, I can't imagine, you sincerely feel all the way, no matter what topic I throw at you, you feel all the way one way or another about it. About like in general, all the topics I'm going to agree with this team always and forever. Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of here. I'm fairly liberal, but like there are some things where I'll be like, I disagree with a liberal person or a Democratic person or a Republican. I might agree with some of the, I mean, Republican, whatever. But you know, but there's got to be something. How could you label yourself into that corner so badly that you don't get a joke?
Yeah, the fringe on both sides are humorless.
That's the truth. Yeah. Exactly. The left and the right, the far left and right have something in common. No, they can't laugh at themselves, and they have very little sense of humor. If you do a political joke, if they don't agree with the joke, forget it's funny. If they don't agree with the joke, it's not funny.
And they'll say this. You could say whatever you say if you're making a joke, but just be funny about it.
Yeah. They go like, that's, I mean, well, I thought it was funny. People were laughing. No, I wasn't laughing. It's not funny.
And they're missing it so much because they're so driven in this one point that they're missing what's happening in the peripheral. You know, they just, which means you're missing an opportunity to get your point across. You're missing an opportunity to see your own view in some new way that might be able to explain it to this next person who might be on your side after that. You're missing out on everything when you go so far. And I'm not even talking about politically right or left. Mm-hmm. When you only like something that much.
I'm with you.
Do you, in any of the clubs, were you at what? Were you ever on stage?
No. Here comes something. And you I like talking to her better. I like having them much better. Everything that I'm kidding, as a girl, it's always like, okay, why do you hate women? Why do you want to behead children? Go ahead, Keith.
Did you ever ask them to take off those headdresses? Like, come on, we're having fun here at the club.
Let's loosen up.
Loosen up. I want this side. I want your ties loosened. This side, I want that silly silk off your head.
Put down that bomb. Exactly.
No, it happened. Right. Never.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Uh-oh. All right. What? Here, listen.
Are you like a 70-year-old Jewish guy? What? Listen, the whole these cadence is like, what is going on here? I had a guy come in about a thing, and what is going on?
He's also like sipping, Jackie Mason. Sipping on chicken soup and gently prune juice. As he talks. Right. That's the other thing that's happening.
Kind of the bathroom three times during this hour.
I'm watching this new season of Homeland. Okay. It's going a little slow.
It is. Yeah. It reminds me of Sopranos in the mid-seasons when it wasn't as good.
Character development.
Right. Sorry. Do you guys know anything? Is it going to be okay?
All Muslims know.
See, there are no Muslims left in the show. They have the one girl with hijab now. And
it's controversial.
I guess. You know what? I was talking to Hen last night. We were watching. I said, say what you want. We've never seen a show where you had a woman who had a hijab who was strong and helping America in that kind of way. I'm like, that was kind of interesting. A very subtle thing by Howard Gordon over there, the guy who created the show.
See? You're making fun of me. Like, what? All Muslims know Homeland? You know the creator, the writer.
I love Homeland. My girlfriend has been in Homeland. She's an actress.
Of course she has. First Muslim. Season. Of course she was. What do you think? All Muslims are in Homeland? Yes. Was your wife in Homeland? Yeah. She happened to be.
Right. It's Law and Order for Muslims. It's really... every Muslim gets booked in it. That's what you're doing.
Fuck. I just took a sip on that one.
Spit take. Bingo.
Law and Order for Muslims. That was the greatest ever.
Hey, talking about Fox News, there's a new book coming out called Murdoch's World, talking, of course, about Rupert Murdoch, written by an NPR reporter. His name happens to be David Focal-Flink. That's great, true. Man. Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to stick with your name, you know, guys. No matter how ridiculous.
Nagin Khanda. Is that right?
I think he was talking to Dean.
And the book talks about how Fox News hires people to go on message boards. And make these, you know, put in fake opinions, you know, standing behind this whatever idiotic statement Fox made. But one person's in charge of 20 accounts. Another person was in charge as many as 100 accounts. Just to, so some of these aren't even real. Some of these. So right. that's almost better. Like sometimes you, and everybody must do it. So sometimes you see these opinions on Facebook and like, is the world doomed? You know, I think the world was always shit. Now you know because of the internet. But actually half this stuff is even fake.
So I read about that. It's remarkable. But I wonder, well, I guess people on the left are doing it on their own. That's the point. And people on the right were supposed to be outraged that people on the right are getting paid to do it.
But I guess everybody's doing it, right?
That's part of it.
Is everybody doing it? This feels like, I'm probably naive. I didn't quite realize that it was that institutionalized.
What do you mean?
That like they would paying. Be hired, oh, and there's right. like this full system, yeah. and they're trying.
That's
I don't
your
know.
Job.
I
just, your yeah. job is to.
Well, I'm hired by the Tea Party to write things all the time.
Here's a
That'd
big,
be great. Crazy. Somebody gets hired for one side of it, but then just goes crazy on the other
yeah,
side.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of Rihanna. She got kicked
yeah.
out.
Yeah. In Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi. It's right next to Yabba Dabba Doo.
Yeah.
She got kicked out. She's wearing. She's covered head to toe,
right?
But if you ask me, it is sexy. Hand on the hip, hip out, a hand doing that just little mannequin pose. You can't have that red lipstick. I know a little bit about some. You can't have your red fingernails, that kind of thing in this outfit. And she does, and you know, they act like she's surprised. Well, you know what you're doing. It's a little offensive.
It's a real publicity stunt.
Right, yeah, because I read that she didn't get permission. She went in an area that wasn't open to the public and was doing this photo shoot. And like, you can't right. do the photo shoot here. It's private. And then they were saying, and it's inappropriate for the setting of a mosque, that type of thing.
I don't even know if is it a little racist? Is it naive?
Sure, go ahead.
I wouldn't.
Why stop
with
now?
That said, yes. I wouldn't go over there and even risk this. I think I'd be thrown in a prison. Why?
No,
we're American,
you're not
going to
be Rihanna. You're not going to be Rihanna and get thrown in a prison. That's
Most
not
Americans
happening.
Are not going to get thrown in prison. No, you'll just get, bye-bye, get out.
No, that kind of, a country wouldn't risk that kind of like an international celebrity.
Right,
of that
but let's slow down. Let's say
lower
it's
level
one, slums, it's one of us and we're walking on the grass. I'm afraid I'm not doing something right and I'll be caned.
I don't know if they do caning there, but I think some.
Yeah.
Most of the time they get deported, frankly. Like when I've been there, I've asked people, like, what happens? They go, they just don't come back to the
What's
country.
The Middle Eastern tour spot? The big one.
Dubai is a big one.
Dubai is
Which is right next to Abu Dhabi.
No,
like an hour and a half
Dubai
from Abu Dhabi.
Is fine. Like, there's
no, it's not fine.
Discos and whatever.
You can't kiss on the beach.
They had apparently.
I mean, come on, that's not
I read
fine.
About that. But people, the apparently, from what I read more, that the British couple who were doing that, who got in trouble, were like assholes to the cops. The cops were like, you can't do that. They're like, fuck you. We're going to do whatever we want. We're going to kiss and the kiss and kiss. So they were like.
You can't say fuck you to the cops?
they probably said it in a British way, too, which annoys you. Like, you know, like, we used to colonize your people. You're nothing. That's my British accent.
And in Iran, like, I remember when I was there and I whistled a song. It happens to be a Lauryn Hill song.
Okay.
And,
like your child will.
And I was, like, just whistling. And this woman, cultural police,
uh-oh.
They came and they're carrying, you know, weapons or whatever. So they're a little.
Is there a difference between, let's say, regular police and cultural police or not?
I guess the cultural police are like, well, these are were the sisters, is what they're called, and they're okay.
they're official police.
Meaning yeah.
They traffic cops?
Well, they're there to monitor your appearance and stuff like that. So I think that's why it gets translated. To
just another country,
or whatever.
Right?
Yeah, just like the way we have in the United States. And I remember I was stopped twice, once for the whistling and another time because I was wearing sunglasses that were overly fashionable.
Wow.
And
you take it as a compliment.
And I was like thank you. I know they're Prada. And I remember that it was really, that's really terrifying, especially when you're not used to that. And I think you learn real quick what are the limits of what you can do. And then you just start doing nothing. I literally would just put my head down and walk straight down. And I'd be like, I'm not enjoying anything. I'm not looking at anyone. I'm not going to accidentally whistle while I work. This is, none of that's happening.
See, but this drives me crazy because I would not.
Kemda thinks less people should whistle.
No, just Keith. He's the worst whistler. Okay. I would not go to Iran. This is my father's country. I'm probably welcome there, but I don't want to go because I'm afraid to be even approached by some of the stuff that I naturally do. And I'm just afraid. And I don't like not being myself. So I interviewed Asi Motorez, who is an Iranian comedian. Mm-hmm. And And it was right before she went there. She shut down her website. She didn't want them looking her up and somehow, you know, causing havoc or bringing any kind of shit to herself. So she just shut down her whole presence online, Facebook, everything. I don't want to do that to go to a country that doesn't want me there, doesn't want me to do anything that I do. Certainly, I would not be able to walk around with Lauren freely, you know.
Yeah.
And so I get that you went because your cousin was getting married.
Yeah.
How important is this cousin? Because there's not one cousin that I would go to Iran
it's
for.
It's not. It's I have so many. Almost all of my family is still in Iran. So for me, growing up, if I didn't ever go there, it would have been I never saw anybody because they couldn't afford to come here, and by and large, not getting visas by the United States to come here. So sort of like, and I think in general, a guy like Keith will have an easier time in Iran than you or I because we look so Iranian. And so they're going to hold us to a different standard. But white people walking around are going to be treated like kings and princes.
See, now Keith, all of a sudden, booking a trip to Tehran.
You're going to have a great time, Keith. Summer in Tehran. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I don't go.
No, but because they want the appearance of the Western world to be like that this is great. And so, you know, friends of mine that have gone there as tourists, which I think is crazy and hilarious, have had the best time.
It's like when Hillary Swank goes to Chechnya and they go, I looked around and it's beautiful and everybody's treated nice.
Right.
But you're treated nice. Like I'd probably be treated nice and I just don't see all the beatings and whatnot.
I also say that about people who go to Israel, which I think is a fantastic country to visit. You know, there's so much to do and see and whatever. And it's obviously less forceful than Iran. To me, it's just a normal country, but I get how people look at it. But the people who don't speak Hebrew are like, oh, they're such lovely people and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, oh, I know what's happening. You're walking by and they're like, hello. And then they're going, Zimadan, you know, like just like completely slurring under their breath about you and calling you an asshole and a slow person. And like, you know what I mean? And you're having the best time in your blissful ignorance.
Right.
And I just, you know, I have made it a point to tell them I don't speak Hebrew there because they're so mean. They're just so mean because like you said, as soon as they know that you should know all this cultural stuff, they expect you to behave that way. And I'm just like,
and you're just a tourist, life is easier.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I got a look when I was in Israel and there's, you know, they had like a little beach. And people are using it, and everybody's sunbathing, that kind of thing. I start walking from there back to the place we were staying. This is with your brother, Hemda, and he didn't say anything to me. And I have the towel, like, on my shoulder.
Uh-oh. You don't know what that meant.
I get a little look. And it's not because of the towel. It's because, you know, my chest is showing.
But honestly, I didn't know this either.
I get this look from some lady, like, And then I'm like, all right, well, there's bitches everywhere. You're just a weirdo. And then some woman was carrying a toddler coming out of their apartment, and they look at me and they go, ah, and they cover the kid's eyes and start one another. I was in good shape for the record. I just want to be clear. And starts, you know, and she almost starts running, like, oh God.
Oh my God. Random selection.
So then I
pat him down. Pat him down.
So then I cover up as fast as I can. These other countries, they scare me. Also, I don't go to a country that has more apostrophes than it does syllables. That's my rule.
So how many countries have you been to?
I've been, funny boy, two.
I'm just asking. Don't be defensive.
Two.
You have a passport? He's number one in Australia, aren't you?
What?
Thank you.
You're the number one comedian in Australia?
He's basically.
On iTunes, I got number one in Australia and Canada.
Really?
So now I have to go to Australia.
Can you move? Muslims are coming up the charge. We're in Australia and Canada. We are. We're in 35 power, countries.
Yeah, what powers do you really have?
Well, maybe if you were nicer. So Canada I've been to. England I've been to. Israel, of course, I've been to.
Ireland
Scotland. I've been to. Scotland. So I'm a world traveler.
You are.
I'm saying. Mexico. International waters of all kinds.
Mexico does not count. Outside. You were there for a day at their Farmacia and you went back on the boat.
Farmacia.
If you ride on an animal of a country.
That counts?
You have visited the said
If you've
country.
Gone to the Olive Garden, you've been to Italy. That's what you're saying now. It's not ridiculous.
Let's just make it clear. We rode on dolphins.
Where did you ride on dolphins?
Oh, I don't know. A place called Mexico.
What? You rode dolphins in Mexico? That's an official. Come on. That's a visit.
No.
That's a tourist trap.
It doesn't matter. You rode dolphins. Who does that?
That's like...
That dolphin was an asshole also.
Our next movie's about dolphins. The dolphins are coming. We're trying to make people like dolphins. They've been maligned. They're good creatures.
They're so smart. They teach me so much.
They scared me so much.
They're slimy. That's the one thing I want. Ooh.
They're the worst. You got. Let me just remind our listeners that you can watch me getting scared of a dolphin in one of our DVDs. It's called On a Big Boat, and we took a Keith and the Girl cruise, and you could see it at our live show, a little bit of Jeopardy that we did on there. Keith and I rode dolphins. I was scared shitless.
You have a library of DVDs now, yes. Don't you guys? It's not just one or two. How many do you have altogether?
Well, Keith has 10 now. And we have...
You son of a bitch. Here, I think I'm talking like a normal guy. He has got a library of stuff. That changes everything. I'm going to go back and redo this much more respectfully.
The CD, by the way, Culture Shock, talks about my time in Israel in the Middle East. And you can get my opinion on there.
That's good.
Speaking of traveling, this is a woman. She's flying to Tampa, landing.
Oh, no.
And she's religious, it seems.
I sing! Yeah! God, you're my savior!
She's been freaking out for the last 20 minutes. She started off by telling everyone to pray for her mother who just passed away. Then she went up and down the aisles telling everyone to pray for her mother. And then she's been like this for the last, 15, 20 minutes.
On a plane? She's yelling Al Akbar. It's a whole different thing, though, huh?
No, she wasn't like that.
That's true, actually.
If she was saying God is great, no, saying Allah is great, Allah Akbar or something, people are like freaking out and tackling her.
Right.
Yeah. But they're just like, oh, crazy, crazy lady. Okay.
That's funny. That's just the
way it goes, huh, Keith?
Just deal with it. basically.
Suck it up, buddy. It's called discrimination. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
White devil 2040. Minorities eclipse white people.
Too
we
bad.
Take over the country. White people in bondage. This is what I'm looking forward to. 2040.
Why don't you
if I
make
live
a
that
movie
long,
about 2045. It, guys? You're so troubled.
Wow, why don't you go do some free shows
problem,
in the South?
My biggest problem with this video is vertical cell phone footage. Why? Yeah, why? Right.
And
why?
Blow out the ear
I mean,
edges.
Kill yourself. For that, kill yourself.
I don't know if this guy next to her knows her or not.
He sounds like Aaron Cater talking.
The whole time.
Is that like the voice? He's in the movie.
Don't fucking touch me.
What'd you say in between
she
that?
She said, don't fucking touch me.
The guy's trying to calm her down. That's right next to her. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. Don't fucking touch me. God, you're my savior. And as she's yelling this, she's looking at her phone. She's flipping through a magazine.
Is she? Are you serious? Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah. She's trying to distract herself.
How dare you?
Oh, my God. God, you're my savior.
Maybe she's reading out loud. Maybe the magazine is God is your savior. The monthly
Can
comes out every
you,
month. And
this is what I would do. And I have done this in different scenarios. Like there was a guy. There's a guy here who absolutely abuses someone in his house. Like there was, there's glass being shattered. There's like all kinds of shit, right? We haven't heard from him in a while. This is what I did one time. He's fucking bugging out. He's like, the fuck, bubble. Like in the amount of anger that you could feel running through your bones just like by listening to him secondhand, he's not yelling at you, was bone chilling.
This is the king of everything.
No. This is here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In
this
studio.
You could hear it? Did you tell me you're doing a podcast, buddy? Let's go.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Do you want to be a guest?
A podcast.
And he goes, don't fucking touch me. No, I go, shut the fuck up! The fuck are you doing? Now, he doesn't know where the fuck I'm coming from.
Right.
And so he shuts the fuck up.
Wow.
The police get called because I called them. And we haven't heard from this guy in forever. So if this bitch wants to go crazy 20 minutes while I'm landing, because I'm already freaking out that we're in the sky on such a heavy thing. Like, I can't fly.
Right.
How come all of us are flying together? This is amazing.
Right, right.
This is fucking sick. So we're all already freaked out. We get it, lady. Okay? We're all, kind of just, sing some kumbaya to yourself in your inside voice and fucking chill out. So I would just be like, shut the fuck up! Maybe.
All right.
Maybe she'll think I'm God.
How did you find that?
The flight attendant asked me to make sure she doesn't try to go to the back door and open it. If she tries to go back, I'm gonna block her.
God, you're my saver. God, you're my saver. God, you're my saver.
That's what
God,
you get for sitting in an exit row. You got to help.
Yeah, that or crying baby. Which one would you...
Crying baby, because a baby has an excuse. Yeah. And I like the sound of babies, crying or otherwise. I will never like the sound of this woman's voice.
This woman?
Yeah. Eventually, the baby I might like. This woman, never.
So when you see the emergency exit, where they go, in a case of emergency, you're willing to help us in case like a woman starts screaming, God is your savior, yeah, God is your savior. Are you willing to stand here and make sure she doesn't go to the back door? Yes.
They have to put that in the pamphlet now.
Everything is adding. The whole list would be funny.
But I like how she, at the end of it, you know, as the plane does, you know, touch down, she's going, all right, God is my savior, God is my savior. And then I don't know why the guy stops videoing, because I want to see a little
what
more.
Happened?
I want to, does she go, and God is my savior. Woo! That was crazy, guys.
Wow, where the fuck's my luggage?
Wasn't that
what's going
scary?
On?
Anyway, excuse me, what gate do I go to transfer to? Oh, God! God is my savior! God is my savior!
I have another flight where I have to yell on for the next 3 hours. I don't want to miss my flight that I'm yelling on later.
Somebody should have... What do you slip that? A Klonopin? What's a good one for that one?
I would rather
CeeLo have... CeeLo Green type of thing. CeeLo Green's getting charged with... giving a woman a roofie, he just got last night. There was a just breaking story. Might be on YouTube.
Why does CeeLo need any?
That's what's
woman?
Crazy. Does he not know he's not a celebrity? Is he not aware? Like,
no.
I am CeeLo Green.
Oh, I thought he would
he
be aware.
He used a roofie
that
on a woman who's like 33 years old. That's the, and this is the, you can see it's breaking news. It just was breaking last night and this morning.
I thought he'd be more aware that he's gay than he's a celebrity.
I don't know. He's gay?
If he just comes out, all these charges will be dropped. He doesn't know what to do.
I was going after her brother. I thought by getting her sickly, I could take her home and meet her brother or something.
I read that he gave a woman ecstasy without her knowing and raped her. They ended up dismissing the rape charges. But now he's being sued for giving drugs.
Really? That was the full... I didn't see the whole thing.
Yeah.
That,
oh,
so
wow.
I thought he'd just given her ecstasy, and she's like, I know this. He gave me this. So now he's a civil lawsuit for the ecstasy.
Yeah.
Why can't you just give someone ecstasy?
Not
against... Oh, it's illegal?
If they don't know it, you're giving them a drug.
Wait, oh, yeah. Like, so
is
she
ecstasy
didn't know.
Illegal?
She didn't know.
No, I'm saying, you know, it becomes... well, I guess, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I forget that it's illegal in terms of I agreed to take this.
That's
sort
different.
Of thing. Yeah.
All bets
then
are
there
off.
Would be right, but there would be no charges. I don't think
for rape.
For rape, no. Still, yes, charges. Yes.
You think the charges would be brought back because he didn't tell? Well, if
he didn't
tell her,
her.
He was going to rape her. You have to tell someone you're going to rape him. Then it's okay. Is that the rule?
Whatever happened to shots?
Yeah, that's.
Shots?
Just get him drunk.
Just do some shots. Whatever
happened to fame? I'm a celebrity. Bingo. We're going to my apartment.
Yeah.
What more do you need? I you know, something went down there. I have to read about it.
Here's an example of hate mail, that kind of thing. A little bit. It kind of goes. Maker's Mark put on their Facebook, true or false? Bourbon barrels are often used to age bourbon multiple times. Get the answer and take the full quiz. And so everybody starts writing false. And I'm talking... I don't know how many thousands of people. They all fall. I mean, you see 10,000 people wrote false. You have to add it there too. I want people to know I'm smart. False. You only use it once. False. No, not true. So I write, I say true. I bet my life and family fortune on it. Things got so out of control. I'm the biggest idiot.
Are you serious?
Maker's Mark had to take down my post.
What?
Because people just started arguing.
Oh my God.
No, they only do it once. And I'm like... So no one ever reused a barrel.
Like accidentally.
Or deliberately to cut corners.
No, you're like you're Karen Silkwood,
buddy.
You're Karen Silkwood. You're uncovering something crazy here.
You know what I saw? I don't like these religious posts where they're like, you know, some random story. This one didn't even make sense. So it was bad English, and English was a first language here for sure. And it was... I don't know, some, you know, miracle happened, some fake fucking bullshit of somebody giving the food that they don't have, and then Jesus blessed them with, like, more food, whatever it was, it didn't happen. But even if it did, and they go, okay, to get your blessing, and this is a very common thing on Facebook, to get your blessing, write amen in the comments or like this. And I just want to be like, seriously, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to like his
God
post.
Works like Facebook.
I get so
he
pissed at that.
Through Facebook.
But the thing is who posted it? An actual friend of mine, you know, and this
someone
is,
you know, like a real friend.
Yeah, yeah. And so I don't want to dismiss their, like, if they believe that they're being blessed, then I don't want to take that away from them because it uplifts their day in one way or another, and that's fine. So I don't want to shit on it. But if I randomly found it, I just want to be like, you are using and abusing people who are trying to make their life be part of some higher space mm-hmm. of living, mm-hmm. doing the right thing, counting their blessings, appreciating the little things even when garbage happens because of a word called God, and you are making them comment and like your fucking Facebook post. Go fuck yourself.
Although, nice.
I think people, do you ever like knock on wood or, you know what I mean? I don't know if you have like one of those evil eye absorbers in your
home.
No,
I will specifically, if I start developing a...
suspicion?
Yeah, I will specifically do it. Like if I think, oh, I'm funnier when I wear this necklace, I will specifically not wear that necklace so that I don't get attached to these things. Because I'll eventually lose those things. I will rely too much on those things. Yeah. And I'll not step up to the plate because I think that these things are just going to make it happen. So I will deliberately take myself out of it. To not rely.
I will still knock on the wood. And I mean, there's just something, I was raised with a lot of superstitions. It's like very cultural. And so in fact, someone the other day, like complimented my hair in a way that was like too much. So, you know what I mean? Like an evil eye compliment. Yep. And she grabbed the back of my hair, which I thought was very like violating, and was like, oh, and it's so thick, right? And literally, I told my mom, oh, she talked like a pre-op transsexual. And I told my mom,
I've been to the Middle East. I love your hair. It's like Christian Bale and Batman.
And I told my mom about this thing, and my mom was like, you must go home and burn the S-Pan. We burn these things that like,
because she was cursing you. You know
the evil eye that absorbed the evil eye. Because she was cursing me.
Nejin, why you do this to yourself?
Exactly.
The worst thing is, this is my funny shirt. And this is how funny I've been in this show. This is as funny as I can get. That's the saddest part.
All right. We got to do business right now.
All right.
Quiet on the side. Okay. iPhone cases. I just checked. And not all of you bought them. iPhone cases as low as $14.99. You personalize it yourself, or you can have them do it. Make it something fun for you. Make it your business. Whatever you want. I don't care.
Actually, I'm upgrading to the new iPhone, although I'm very nervous about it. And that means I have to get a new case because this case won't fit. This is my VistaPrint case. I have to tell Lauren that my new VistaPrint case will not only have our picture again, but mm-hmm. will also have Keith and the girl somewhere down there. Because like you said, I think you're right. Because a lot of people comment when I put my phone down and they could see the picture.
Yeah.
I would like them to also see Keith and the girl. So I'll probably have our Keith and the girl logo where it says Keith and the girl and has those lines. What are those? The audio lines in it?
Right.
I'm going to put that on the bottom. And I think like anyone who gets this case should have Keith and the girl at the bottom. And then we'll be like a team.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I'll show you my case. I'll post it up on Facebook. I'm going to get it done.
It is a really nice case.
And then we see somebody on a plane and they're like, God, you're my savior. You're my savior. And we recognize the phone. We'll be like, all right, we're a team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this new iPhone is longer. You can put a whole extra row of icons. That means when it comes to puts Keith and the girl logo on it, it doesn't detract or get too cluttered with your picture of love.
Right. So VistaPrint.com/Keith and the Girl, you get this awesome, awesome deal from VistaPrint. It's so easy to do. Again, it's VistaPrint.
All iPhone cases are 25% off. There's free shipping off your entire order. You spend more than $30, you get free shipping on your entire order. VistaPrint.com/Keith and the Girl. Satisfaction guaranteed. If you're not happy, they will make it. Right. There is no risk. You know what? If you drop your phone now because you didn't have a case on it and it cracks and you got to pay $200 from somebody on the street or get a whole new phone from Apple, fuck you. I'm glad.
That was very Pacino.
Fuck you.
That was very Pacino. You know what I love? Let's do some business.
Right.
Do you hate Muslims? We do too. That's why we have this new course taught by Islamophobes.
You've been lauded for your ability to do business in this fashion. And I just have to jump on that bandwagon. You're very good at convincing. Because I am literally on my old iPhone right now. Buying a new case for an iPhone I haven't even purchased yet. I mean, insane what you've done to my soul.
Let's do the same thing to you. Muslims are coming. The Muslims are coming. You got to get this. I want to show them what we can do. So show them that they're
please.
Number one.
It's on iTunes.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon.
Just get it from iTunes and Amazon, and they'll see themselves move up in the rank, and they'll be like, oh, snap. That.
Get it for it's on Xbox. I read
it's on Xbox.
Even
Time Warner. It's even VOD. On VOD DVD. On almost every cable channel.
Wow, well, no one knows what you guys are saying, but it's at places. It seems
it's everywhere.
So many places.
The more people buy, the closer we get to Islamic
but
law.
But the thing about
America,
it though, it's so. Fun.
What the fuck
Time
is going
out.
On?
When you guys talk on top of each other, it dismisses your commercial and
it
your
dismisses
advertising.
Our commercial.
Let's do the commercial again.
Yeah.
Look at guys though. For no, but you know what. This is the only movie that Jon Stewart has been in since Death to Smoochie. I think that's true.
Jon Stewart's
in it? That might be true.
Who else is in the movie, Nagin?
Janine Garofalo, David Cross, Louis Black, Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow was a very fun get, right?
Oh, she's
Russell Simmons.
Great. She's great.
Liz Winstead.
I have a crush on Rachel Maddow.
Who doesn't?
Right. Russell Simmons. He seems very open culturally. I think he's married to a 21-year-old Asian.
Now, no, he had got rid of his wife. When we were interviewing him, he was just getting divorced. So I'm not sure what's going on now.
Oh, that's tough. After the credits, you should put
being
in
the
movie.
Being in the movie prompt.
Where are they now? Russell Simmons has turned into a Muslim hater, you know, like 10 years later.
So what happens now, by the way? Congratulations on the awards the movie's getting, and there's a lot of hype around it.
We qualified for the Oscars officially yesterday.
There you go.
Wow.
151 documentaries. We're one of the 151 qualified. Doesn't mean we're going to get on the short list or nominated, but we're officially qualified. So we're in the running. People can vote for us if you're an Oscar person.
Are the bank accounts empty?
Oh. Empty. Empty.
In debt.
Negatives. Yeah. Right.
We're talking that we should be shut down. The Tea Party should shut us down for
but
debt.
But do you,
this is,
if people buy this on iTunes and on Amazon, are they helping the bank accounts?
The debt, yeah.
The
yeah.
debt. We have to chip away. The debt's an iceberg that sank the Titanic. And little by little, we chip away at that.
We really hope we'll just be able to pay back the debt. That's enough.
Investors.
I think the iTunes will help that. It'll definitely help that.
Of course.
That's the motivator for everybody.
But what was the initial goal? Because the initial goal couldn't have been, let's just pay back the debt for this thing.
No, the initial goal is to end bigotry all over the planet. So
exactly.
Let's do that first. Secondarily, let's get rid of the debt.
When an investor goes, yo, I'm going to need some money back, do you go, okay, listen, I don't think you read what goal number one was, which is kind of important. It's a big one. It's ending bigotry
worldwide.
Do you
not understand documentary making? Like, who would... We have one investor. The only one who's asked me questions about how the money's doing is a doctor who's got a lot of money. He's going, so how's it going? So you think we're getting our money back? And he gave like the least amount of money. I'm like, doctor.
Right.
Please. Bigotry still exists. Okay.
Goal number one, then goal number two.
This is borderline bigotry right now, asking about the money.
The money.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Are you a Jew? Let's be honest.
All right. We learned a lot already, but you're going to learn a lot more in this. The Muslims are coming. Get the you've never laughed this hard at a Muslim. I'll tell you that. Write that on the cover.
You know, this movie, really, it is going to blow up. I think it'll make its money back.
In a good
and
way.
Some.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Everything you guys do.
She meant that in a good way. All right.
Well, the Muslims are coming, so I don't know.
Bingo. Or it's an adult film. Whatever you want it to be. We don't care. We just want you to buy the film. We don't care. You're looking for a little softcore porn?
It's a choose-your-own adventure.
This is going to be one of those things where you're going to tell your friends, I told you so because you were first to get it. I'm serious. This is going to be one of those like heavy movements that we're starting right here that you get to say, like, I told you about this a year, 2 years ago, whatever it is, and... See, like you should just follow my trend. We are trend makers right here. The Muslims are coming.
God willing.
What is this? 20, 30
Don't
bucks?
Add.
How much is it?
$20.
$4.99 on iTunes.
The DVD is $20.
$3.99 SD version. Okay. $4.99 if you want to spring for a little HD because you want to see our faces and the lines of our faces. $4.99. Or you can buy it on the DVD. How much are DVD now? 15?
$20.
$20. And $12.99 online.
$19.99
So I guess you just click a button. It's not this difficult, right? So
it's very reasonable. Very reasonable. We'll take all currencies. Swiss bank account.
What I'm saying is, you're paying this minimum amount, and then you have this in your house, and you look like a free thinker. Mm-hmm. You don't actually got to hang out with Muslims,
uh-huh. Right?
Uh-huh. Nope.
This is a panty dropper.
Also, I mean, in the art design is really nice. Yeah.
And you get on the no-fly list when you buy it. So it's a bonus for everyone.
You don't get to go.
Win-win. You never fly again.
We also have t-shirts that will definitely get you on the no-fly list. Right. Very visible.
Or if you convert to Islam, it's $5. That's what we're doing. Cheaper.
You have to send us proof, though. We're not going to just believe you converted to Islam.
Are you, even though it takes money away from you, do you look forward to the hackle?
haggle.
You can't help yourself.
We would be very happy to haggle.
All right. Thank you guys very much. It's very nice meeting you. Go to the website, Muslims Are Coming, right? The
MuslimsAreComing.com.
The MuslimsAreComing.com. The Twitter, if you want, Muslims letter R coming. And that's it. And then follow what these guys are doing. I mean, my goodness already. Come on now.
Come on.
For the love of God. Thank you.
Not for the love of God also.
Sorry.
Do it for the not love of God as well.
When's the last time you guys pray?
I don't pray like
that. I pray
that.
A lot. But not like in a dogmatic kind of way.
No, I pray almost every day. I don't get on my knees or do any of those things.
No, that's a different story. Mm.
So that's
for other reasons. For other reasons.
So because of that, I'm going to assume it's really pronounced Muslim.
Muslim.
Like Dean says it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you guys very much. We'll talk to you
Thanks
tomorrow.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.